Did y'all good evening. Thank you for being here tonight. I know there's other places you could be. It's hot. There's all kinds of excuses that people have made in some instances and others could make in regards to not being here tonight. The fact that you've made this effort and chosen to be here says a lot about you, and I appreciate that very much. We miss all those who are unable to be out with us due to another a lot of reasons, sickness, and because of the recent current pandemic. Things of this nature, we have folks on YouTube right now following us. We're glad that you're here, and we appreciate everyone's interest in spiritual things. Besides Stephanie, I don't know that we have any other visitors here among us tonight. Certainly don't really count her as a visitor, but it's good to have her with us this entire day, as well as for everyone. We come to the part of our worship where we're going to continue to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. We're going to make our appeal to the Bible, and on the subject matter we're going to talk about right now, we're going to go to the Bible. We're going to talk about what God has to say about the subject for us here this evening. I'll utilize the PowerPoint as normal, provide you book, chapter, and verse for everything I've got to say. If you have a bulletin, take it out. You'll be able to follow along with some of the scriptures I'll have, be able to fill in. You just got to keep yourself and help yourself stay engaged as we bring forth this lesson this evening. Have any of you ever been right here? It's kind of funny that I was there just this afternoon, worked on that computer back there in that office. An hour and a half to get something printed. And I was storming and stomping around, and I remember sitting down at my desk, and there was my lesson again. And boy, isn't that appropriate? Anger. Anger is something that I have certainly have seen. I've seen it from a distance. I have seen it close up. It is something that, thankfully, I've not had a whole lot of dealings with those who were particularly close to me most of my life. But as I was looking at a Christian book website one time, and I looked up this topic, I was overwhelmed by the material. Of all the different subject matters that I have looked at to read after in regards to what other authors may have to say in the matter, I don't know if this topic has ever been closely matched by another one in regards to the amount of writings. If you go to Amazon.com tonight, look under their book section, and just type in anger, you'll find over 40,000 selections. 40,000. I mean, the idea, the concept of anger is something that is obviously an immense struggle for many. It is one that people need to think about, need to deal with. And all of us, if we'll admit, have been angry. And we've done things out of anger that we should not. We just sang very well a few moments ago, angry words, oh, let them never. First of all, I believe there needs to be a little bit of a clarification in regards to this emotion of anger. I believe it's helpful to remind ourselves that just simply getting rid of anger, con blanche, is not necessarily the goal. When you think about that idea of that emotion of anger, it's going to be in our lives, especially if we look and see that it is emotion that God has. In Psalm 7 and verse 11, God is a righteous judge, and God has indignation every day. My translation, the right translation, the King James says, God is angry with the wicked every day. There's indignation. There's anger on God's part, and it is justified on God's part. In a reading in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, "Be ye angry and sin not." So that tells me that there is that possibility of being angry, being charged with that emotion. But what is that emotion all about? What has fueled it, and what does it allow me to fuel in my action? It tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a difference between God's anger, a control with purpose, not with hatred or malice or resentment. God's anger is not selfish, an expression of contempt. It is one that is an expression of concern to correct or curtail destructive behavior. It's an expression of care, not an expression to destroy relationships directed toward injustice. It is directed toward those who willfully disobey as compared to destructive anger. And we've all seen that. And again, we probably have all participated in that one time or the other. It's uncontrolled. It's without patience. It's hatred and malice and resentment. It is selfish. It destroys relationships. It's typically directed toward violations of ourself. Directed toward those who have opposed me and my purposes and my desires and my will. And so there is a difference. There seems to be really a bigger problem when it comes to anger. As one begins to study it, it becomes clear that the emotion itself is never the problem, as it is stated in Scripture. But like many emotions, it's rather neutral. It can be used for good or a constructive purpose or for a selfish and evil purpose. We study when we study the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, it says Jesus entered into the temple and he overturned the tables of the money changers and overturned the seats of those who served doves. And he said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you have made it into a den of thieves. Righteous indignation in regards to disobedience and something that was going on that was wrong. As compared many times to my anger. Think about your anger as you've gotten angry today, or maybe this weekend, or last week, or last month, or sometime in your life. What caused you your anger? Was it things like this? I am entitled to what I want and when I want it. We see that in children many times, do we not? They throw temper tantrums, we call that. My time is most important, and I should not be inconvenienced by others. I have the right to be impatient and rude when other people are being slow and dumb. I have the right to act out in my anger and say things when I shouldn't, because I have that right. I not only have the right to pursue my happiness, I deserve to be happy, and I will do whatever it takes to achieve it. I'm entitled to cheat a little bit to get ahead. If I don't take advantage, someone else will, and then they will get a step ahead of me. These are the type of attitudes that we find ourselves thinking sometimes and getting angry. I deserve the newest, the biggest, the best, and the most. It is my right. I'm going to do or die, so I may as well get as much as I can right now. So what if I'm rude? I never have to see this person again, so what difference does it make? My emergencies take precedence over anyone else's emergencies. These type of selfish attitudes that you see that centers around a lot of people's anger. I have the right to be angry. People have let me down, and I have been hurt. Therefore, I have a right to lash out at the world. If life and people would just cooperate with me, then I would be happy. And the more I study with excuses like that, I see that anger is not the problem. The real problem is a mindset that fuels and misplaces and misuses anger. When we see anger misused in this type of way, what I typically find is it is short-term thinking and it is impatience. Often in the book of Proverbs, anger is linked with someone who is said to be impatient, in a hurry, lacks long-range thinking. Anger is harder to control when one lacks the long-range thinking or simply wisdom. I cannot wait. I will not wait. I have to have something now. And if I'm not willing to listen to an explanation, if I don't want to take the time to learn or understand more about the situation, if I don't really want to consider anyone else but myself at that moment, I will likely react in some very silly, foolish way out of my anger. James said in James 1 verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Write that down. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. How do we make that application? I'll tell you how I've tried to make application in my life. Anytime I am angry and I am making a decision on something that I'm going to do, I think of this verse. Because more times than not, if I begin to act, or if I begin to say, or I begin to type and write a response in my anger, many times, if I'm not careful, I'll get caught up in the short-term and impatient thinking without thinking about what is really going on, what thinking about what else is happening on the other side. And I will not work the righteousness of God. I will not, in other words, do the right thing. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, the wise man said in Proverbs 14, 17. Determined to have a strong fuse. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Determined to use your life to exalt wisdom rather than folly. Be long-tempered. A great contrast, or in a great contrast, is Proverbs 19, verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to become angry, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Overlook a transgression. Are you kidding me? Do you know what they did to me, Brian? It makes me very angry. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Or worse. It's wanting some sort of justification or feeling better or short-term thinking in regards to the situation. On a practical level, this certainly means that on a daily basis, there are things that are far more important than a standstill traffic. You ever been there? Trying to get somewhere and traffic comes to a standstill? You become angry. You begin to say things, do things. I've been in situations in the road just the other day. I was accidentally honked. I don't know what I was doing. I think I had an ice cream in my hand or something. I'm trying to turn. I've driven further than most of you have driven backwards. I mean, I've driven backwards. Many of you have driven forward. I mean, I've driven all my life. It seems like I can drive with my knees. I can drive one-handed. Okay? But on this occasion, I honked. And the guy thought I was honking at him. It was an accident. I was trying to wave and say, hey, I'm sorry. It was no big deal. He waved back, but not with all of his fingers. People just get angry about the silliest things. Little inconveniences that make my life a little bit more difficult or inconvenient. The slow salesperson, the high price of gas. I failed the test. How do I get rid of it? Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 29 the following. He said, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only words that are good for edifying somebody according to the need at the moment. Said that it will be give grace to those who hear it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed the day of redemption. When you speak angry words in a very impatient and short-thinking manner, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. These are the attributes I've got to add to my life. And you'll see as we go through this lesson, it is more of a long-term thinking. Well, what do I really want out of life? You know, that's another thing that I think about when it comes to anger. You know, the wise man in Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir them up. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but a slow to anger pacifies contention. Chapter 15, verse 8. Same book in chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife. A hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. What do you really want out of life? Do you really want a situation to de-escalate, or do you kind of like it when there's drama added to your life? That's ridiculous. Who wants the drama? There's a lot of people that like drama. And if we're not careful with exactly what it is that we want, we are getting. When we're struggling with serious repeated anger issues, then I need to honestly ask myself, do I like living this way? Do I like keeping escalating this drama? Is there an element of drama and conflict and strife and turmoil and stressful situations that I enjoy? Do I want to risk alienating everyone from me? Do I really want to undermine my relationships? What is it I want out of my life? Paul speaking about God, says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. As though it's your life is about being a part of the family of God, being a child of God, or do we get caught up in life's little irritations? And you know what? It really makes me to feel alive. I really showed them down at work today. Oh, I really told her. And really all I'm saying is you know what? I kind of like that. I kind of enjoy at the end of the day looking back how I have set people in their place. And if I'm not careful, what I'm doing is really a self-fulfilled prophecy and desire in my mind to have conflict with other people. Life is more than that. Life is more than that. Another question is this. Is my anger covering anything else? The wise man again in Proverbs 19:3 says, the foolishness of man subverts his way and his heart rages against the Lord. Foolishness will ruin our lives. A person who has been making foolish choices will inevitably end up in some sort of misery. The way of the sinner is hard. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The bad choices that we make will eventually boil over. And I got to tell you, when they begin to boil over and I begin to have the very predictable circumstances or consequences, I should say, of my actions, if I'm not careful, my response is anger. Why is this happening to me? Yet, instead of being angry with ourselves, we begin to want to take it out on other people. We become angry with God, the very one who gave us every incentive to be wise. A person can go through life blaming all sorts of people for the circumstances as to why they're not presently succeeding in the area that they wish. They'll blame their parents, they'll blame their spouse, they'll blame their boss, they'll blame the government. When it's all said and done, it's really me. It's the consequences of what I have done. And I begin to pray to God. Hey, I pray to you and nothing's happening. I mean, why can't you give me a break? You give everyone else a break. You know, I'm trying to get stuff done down here. I mean, how about cutting me a little slack? And if we would be honest with ourselves, we realize the reason why we don't have a little slack is because of the decisions that I've been making. I've disengaged myself from my brethren. I've disengaged myself from God. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not studying the Word of God. I'm not filled with His Word. I'm filled with the world, and I'm filled with what I want. And those type of attitudes and those type of desires is what fuels anger. Because really, it's a dead-end street. We don't get where we want to get to. In Genesis 4, verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And into thee shall be his desire. You must rule over it. Cain was angry. His countenance fell. He got so angry he killed his brother. But of his own decision. God said, why are you angry? If you do right, it'll be okay. My anger, is it covering anything? And finally, when you see this, I mean, when it comes to anger, don't panic. I mean, we've seen this before. I'm amazed by the life of Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite characters. He does the noble and right thing. He's sold into slavery. He works hard. He's responsible. He ends up in prison. He's kind. He thinks about others. He helps them with their problems, and they forget about him. Yet, when do we see Joseph angry? I mean, Joseph could come to terms with what happened to his life because he saw a bigger picture. And that's what I'm challenging all of us here in our assembly and those who are listening on YouTube or listening to a CD, is see the bigger picture. Don't panic. You've seen these things before. It wasn't even at the end of his life. Joseph, talking to his brother, says, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it to good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You know, he could really have been angry. But he had long-term thinking. He realized, ultimately, God is in control. That's what's so great about being a Christian, because, for starters, we already know how everything ends, don't we? life ends, if you are a child of God, what are you so impatient about? What are you doing being so angry? All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. Me and God make a majority, and I've got to see life that way. I will reap the benefits of my effort. All my hard work will pay off in the Lord. It will not pay off in the world, and you can continue to try to do that, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to be angry. Let me tell you why that's not worked out. It's my wife's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's the government's fault. No, it's your fault. You're going down the wrong street. And you're going the wrong way. And you're going there quickly. I know how things end. That men may know, God said, from the right, that there is no other besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. My people will never be put to shame. That's a good promise, by the way. I'll never be put to shame. I'll never have to be embarrassed about being a child of God. God is in control. In addition, I have lived long enough to see that whatever setbacks happen today, they're only temporary. I've seen cars break down before. Guess what? They get better. You get a new one. Bad news in the paper. High gas prices. People fall away. Tight teams economically. Misunderstanding among friends. Flat spots in relationships. Challenges in parenting and so on. You know what happens? None of that kills me in the past. It's not going to kill me now. Why panic? Why despair? Why get angry? When there's so many blessings to enjoy. Don't waste your life being angry. And if you are moved to anger, sin not. Long-term thinking. Don't be anxious for anything, but through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks. What if I'm angry? Give thanks. It's hard to stay angry when you begin to start counting your blessings rather than the problems that you're going through. This is good advice because it comes from God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name Lord Jesus Christ. Count your blessings, don't count your problems, and you'll be the type of person that will, His will, draw others to you and unto God. Anger. It's a much needed subject to talk about. Short-term, impatient thinking. Usually it's emotion at the moment, and I blow it. What do I really want? What is it that I'm involved with? Because if I'm not careful, I'm involved in things of this world, and it goes to a dead end. No wonder you're angry. Is anger and covering up something? You ever known somebody? Well, we're going to tell him we caught him. Well, you know he's going to be angry. Why is he going to be angry? Because he's trying to cover something. Are you covering something? Don't panic. You've seen all this before. It's going to work out. And matter of fact, if you're a child of God, it's all going to work out. So why be angry? And I think we've learned these lessons tonight. Our time has spent very well. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you here tonight. Maybe there's one in our audience that needs to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We wish to help you do that. If the Lord will allow us to do that, we'll do that for you. We extend the invitation to you. Sing this song to encourage you. So if you're somebody in any way, come forward now as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?